I think, is a very basic idea, which is that real love is eternal, unchanging, and vador means in flux from epoch to epoch. Epoch is a fancy word meaning a time of several years. So la'olam means the other of that which is always true and never changes. But vador means that things change over time. For example, our mission in our generation is certainly not the mission of the generation before us. And the mission of the generation after us is probably not going to be the mission of our generation. Why? Because things change over time. So this denotes constant continuity, and this denotes continuity, but through different situations and different changes. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So it says in the first prophet, Yehi Chvod Hashem Yolam. What it means is that this underlying the totality of creation, eternally unchanging, there's a fundamental idea. The fundamental idea is that we want to see Kavod Hashem. We want to see the honor of God. How do we see the honor of God? So of course, it's not just by God's activities, but rather it's by our activities. Because our activities manifest the Kavod Hashem. Why is that? Since we are the Tzelem Elohim, we're the image of God, so to speak. So therefore, we are the Kavod Hashem. And then, of course, the next one, the next part is what's the third? Come on. Put your room up there. And then, of course, the next part of the pasuk makes a lot of sense in this context as well, because it says, Kvod Yichvod Hashem Li'olam, page 64. Say Yichvod Hashem Li'olam, Yismach Hashem L'ma'asov. If we reflect God's honor, one second, if we reflect God's honor, then Hashem will be happy with us. Why? Because we are accomplishing what we're supposed to be accomplishing. We're getting Hashem, so to speak, happiness if we do what we're supposed to do. So we say, if we're able to bring Kavod Hashem, whatever, which is the underlying purpose of creation, although the way it happens each generation might change, but the underlying purpose of creation is Kavod Hashem, then Hashem rejoices in us. Now we should want to make Hashem happy with us. Why? Because we're supposed to love Hashem. We love Hashem, we want to be happy. Yes. What's your name?
Greg Lukowski.
Greg?
The question, I thought it was saying, like Hashem, yeah, Hashem doesn't change. He's the given. That's the given. That he said something, and it's just a matter of time.
What word is extra, if you're right? Where do you be correct? Which word was superfluous here? Why could you just say, point to Yehi Hashem Li'ola? What is Kavod from here? What is honor do with it? If you want to say that God is constant, then why does it say Kavod Hashem? Unless I'm trying to explain what you're saying.
Can you
develop
that idea a little more?
Yeah. It's this necessarily about God. We don't have to bless God that he should be forever. He doesn't have a choice. He's going to be forever. Yeah, that's the way it is. God transcends time.
But as we pray, we're actually telling ourselves it. Like we're reminding ourselves the greatness of
God's love. It could be, but it sounds here more that, you know, that it's a blessing. In other words, he is not a statement of fact, but rather the word he in and of itself is a request. So therefore, we say, you know, Yichvod Hashem Li'olam, we know Hashem is forever. But the honor of God, oh, that's the ultimate mission of the purpose of creation, it might not be properly accomplished. Because if we muff it up, if we don't conduct ourselves the way we're supposed to, so the honor of God is not present. So therefore, we're asking God's assistance that he can help us to fulfill the ideal, which is the underlying purpose of creation, which is the honor of God. And then, if the honor of God is accomplished, of course, God is going to be happy with us. And we should want to make God happy. If you love someone, you want to try and make that person or that entity happy. And if you love God, you want to make God happy. Okay?
Then Hashem is happy with Ma'asav, with his creation, because his creations reflect his honor. Okay? Yes? Okay, that's, I think, the first verse. But then the second verse introduces a new thing. The new thing the second verse represents, introduces, is, as opposed to kavod, here, first off it says, he kavod Hashem le'olam. The second pasuk also says, Yehi, but it says Shem Hashem Yidorah. Okay, it says more than that, but let's leave out the rest of the pasuk in a minute. So what's the between Kavod and Shem? And what's the difference between Yidorah, and I guess I should really put it, put in the rest of the pasuk, Yidorah, what's the name, Me'atav Yad Olam, right? Mirach me'atav v'ad. No, I'm parsing this wrong. The way I assume we write stuff and I'll put it on the board. Ichor Hashem with Yishev Hashem Yivorach me'atav v'ad olam. And here it says me'olam. Okay, so these are the same. Then you have a whole section over, and this is the same. And then you have a whole section which is not there. And then we have here this difference between shame and kavod. Okay? What's the difference between God's honor and God's name? What's the difference between mivorach mi'atzav v'ad olam and just the plain le'olam? So what's God's name? The question is, what do we mean when we say God's name? It's a very strange thing, because throughout davening, throughout benching, everywhere we speak about God, we very often mention the fact that God's name is very important to us. For example, in Shemoneh Esrei we say, Atov Shimcha U'lechon Elodos. Your name is good. Like when you say, Atov, you're good, right? Let's say a good name is good. It's like you're saying, oh, Yosef Gabriel, that's my name. That's such a beautiful name. Well, I'd rather say nice things about me, forget about my name. And the same thing we have in Benjamin, right? First of all, in Benjamin, we say, Ba'avur Shimcha HaGadol, right? Ba'avur Shimcha HaGadol, sorry. Ba'avur Shimcha HaGadol, for the sake of his great name. Who cares? What do I care about God's name? What I care about is that God is good, right? It doesn't matter to me what his name is. And we have this throughout davening. I'm just giving you two examples. But throughout davening, wherever you look, you have Atah Kadosh V'Shimcha Kadosh. You're holy and your name is holy. Who cares if God's name is holy? What do I care? What difference does it make? His name, you know, like I'm saying, you're a Kohen and Ron is a Kohen. What difference does it make? Who cares? Oh, actually, he's a Kohen and Ron is a Kohen. What difference does it make? I don't have to stress the name. So the question is, what exactly is the thing of Shem Hashem is? Why do we stress it all over the place, the name of God? So what do you think? Why do we stress the name of God? You ever stop to think about that? I always started thinking about it for the first time about 3 years ago.
Because God's name represents the timelessness of God. So if you just think of God, you think of God as only in the present. If you think of God's name, the acronym for He was, He is, and He shall be, you think of God as that.
It's not bad. Not bad. I don't agree, but it's not bad. What Ron is saying is that the Shem Hashem is much more different than thinking about God per se. Because God's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is Ron assuming is what shame refers to, which is the least, I'm not sure is correct, is that God, that tells us that God was, besides is, He was, and He will be. And according to some interpretation, it also means He sustains everything. So therefore, you have much more of a thought just about them, just about God, when you think about His name, which has all sorts of other messages. Yes. The thing is, which may be true, is that when we talk about Shem Hashem, we're talking specifically about that one name, the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which has all those connotations. Yes?
I have one idea. In the previous parasha, when Moshe asked Hashem, what is your name, or what shall I say that is your name, he was asking, really, I read a commentary on that, he was asking, what is your name, that is to say, in which of your different attributes are going to treat us?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in this one we are not praying to an attribute of Hashem, but requesting the specific application of that attribute in that particular case.
That what Mordecai is saying is very similar to the Ma'aral. The Ma'aral says that the names we give to God
They don't capture God's essence. So there's no way we can define God. God is beyond our capacity of definition, because words can't capture what God is all about. The language has not yet been created to deal with the infinite, eternal, transcendent nature of what God is. So what are the names that give God? No matter which name we give him, every name represents our relationship with God, or God, to be more accurate, with God's relationship with us. And the third relationships with us, like we say, which are midas ha-rachamim, which are done out of mercy. And the third relationships with us, which are midas ha-din, the attribute of judgment, right? That's one of the basic differences between Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and Elohim, right? Which is, one is mercy and one is judgment. The question is, why is it that way, but not for now. So the idea is that each name we give to God, and there are many more. There's Kel, there's Ka, you know, there's, in this passage we have Eyeh as God's name, we have Tzva'ot as God's name, there are lots of names which God has. Each one of them represents a relationship which God has towards us, and has to be defined accordingly. So we talk about Kavod Hashem, we're not talking about God's relationship to us. What are we talking about? God's honor. What's God's honor? How we reflect God's majesty, God's glory, God's honor in the world. That's about us. Really about us. This is talking about our relationship. It's a different thing. Moreover, we're saying to God, hey, listen, we reflect your covenant in the world, right? That's us. And we ask that we should reflect it even more. Now that we reflect you in the world, let's talk. That means we have a relationship. Let's talk about that relationship. Let's expand upon that. Now let's enhance that relationship between the two of us. In other words, first I have to get my foot in the door. My foot in the door, I said, well, I reflect Kavod Hashem. Me, I'm Jewish, I'm davening, I'm Kavod Hashem. Right? Now I have come down and I said Kavod Hashem, let's talk about the relationship between the two of us. So we say, I want to talk about the relationship. Shit! And this is a fundamental idea, whatever I think, Ivan. Wherever you see in davening, in benching, in anything we do, the shame as a concept, it means the relationship between us and God. God, we're saying, when we say benching, Bavur Shemo HaKadol, because of his great name, right, doesn't mean because he has a phenomenal name, you know what I mean, it's because he has a great relationship with us. Right? HaKadol Shimcha means your relationship with us is based in goodness, in your kindness. Shimcha Kadosh means the relationship with us is one of holiness, and so on and so forth. So we're saying, he, Shem Hashem, made the name of God. And perhaps here's words specifically Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, like Ron said. But that, I don't know. But I know the relationship of God should be Mivarach. What does Mivarach mean? What's the bracha? What does blessing mean? How can you bless God?
Yeah, I'm not saying that you are blessing him, but
that
seems like the source of all blessings,
that
he's the source of blessings
to
the world.
Right, he's the source of blessings to the world, but more than that, when something is blessed, it expands, right? There's a fascinating Gemara Bava Metzia. Gemara Bava Metzia says you should not measure your grain until the last possible moment. Because the moment you measure it, it's not going to expand anymore. But as long as you haven't measured it, God can miraculously cause it to expand and grow larger and larger. But once it's measured, ein ha-bracha shoira el v'dover ha-somrim min ha-ayim. The bracha, meaning this hidden miracle of the expansion and, you know, increase of your grain, only occurs if something is hidden from the eye. The moment it would be a revealed miracle, because you already measured it and you saw how many pounds there are, and that would be a real miracle, doesn't happen anymore. So bracha, in that sense, means to increase, something which goes beyond that which is there. So we're saying, yes, God is the source of blessing, that's true. That is when we ever someone would say, Baruch Atah Hashem, in any blessing, we're saying, you are the source of blessing. But he was saying more than that. He was saying, we want God's relationship to us to be increased, expanded, that it should go outward. By the way, the word bracha represents increase because the word bracha has all the letters in the Hebrew alphabet which have the multiple of Beis, Reish, Chaf, all multiples of 2, right? Beis is 2, Reish is 200, and Chaf is 20.
So that evet, this is the ultimate bracha, is something where you have something expand. Have something expand from one, it becomes two. The word b'chor, which is a very similar word, which in order, reish. What?
Would have been better if it was ascending like 220, 200.
That's right. No, there is. I'm saying, back to that, there is such a word, b'chor. B'chor is the firstborn child, right?
Uh-huh.
And the firstborn child is called b'chor because he's the first extension of the father. And I think b'chor is a more important word than berech. Why did God choose this word to go in order and not this word, right? Which is what your question is, right? Because this is an important word because this has to do with the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So Hashem said, "B'mi b'chori Yisrael," my firstborn son is the Jewish people. So the word b'chor represents the Jews, and that's why that got to be in order. Next best is berech, which also means an expansion and enhancement. So therefore, say Yichud Hashem, ecstatic. I shouldn't say ecstatic, but it depends on us. What it means to, it's quite, we can't ask for it to increase, because it's up to us to increase it. It's our mission not to increase the honor of God. We can't actually ask God to do it for us. But what we can ask God is to enhance our relationship. That the shame of Hashem should be Mivarach. Now Mivarach, interestingly, here also we have this additional phrase, May Atah be At Olam. It was just saying the other one. Here it says May Atah be At Olam. What's the difference between the two? Why in this phrase, in that context, is to say, does Yichor Hashem live Olam forever? And here you say, Yishem Hashem, may the name of God be blessed, May Atah from now be At Olam. So just say, why the extra two words here, May Atah be At Olam? Why stress from now?
Forever
is just forever. If you say from this time right to this day,
forever, then it should be smart. So it's to turn. Yeah, you can do better. That's true. What are you going to do better? It's a relationship. The more you want to have a relationship, the more the relationship increases.
Yeah, in the, yes, and that means the more I want, the more pieces, there's a point of reference.
Yeah.
This Yichud Hashem Yolam is the eternal purpose of the world, right? The point, there's no frame of reference for that, right? That's the purpose. If I am able to enhance it, wonderful, but that's the eternal purpose of the world. Whether I do it or not, that's the purpose. It remains the same thing. But here, Yishem Hashem Yolam, may I fall? I'm saying to God, listen, the frame of reference is now. I don't want, and this is really what you're saying, but a little bit better, I think you just said a little bit better, that's what I'm saying. But the frame of reference is, whatever it is now, I want to increase it, and I want a constant level of increase. This morning I'm coming to you, God, I'm saying, okay, till now maybe we have some good brother. Maybe we have a good relationship. Maybe things are going well. But they always go better. So therefore, let's stress whatever happened in the past, I want now there to be an ever-escalating thing. Again, it's not something which is there, but something which I want to increase. And therefore I want to take today, and from today go higher. And ideally speaking, of course, tomorrow go even higher. The problem with that is that those of us who come late to speak the Zimra, very often skip this phrase. But ideally speaking, we would be asking every day for that thing to increase from the point we're at to the next level, and the next level, and the next level. So that's instead of li'olam, which doesn't imply an ever greater, more profound, deeper relationship, a more blessed relationship, here we are stressing me'ata from here v'e'an in v'ad olam. Okay? That's the second word. So we'll talk about the purpose of our creation, which is the honor of God, and to manifest honor of God, which is turn God to be happy, because God to be happy. Since God is happy, so therefore, we say, well, God, now let's talk about our relationship, right? Let's enhance that relationship. Basically, a kid comes to his father and says, listen, I made you happy. I cleaned up my room. Give me money. Whatever I want. So we say, don't put in such crass terms, but that's not the way to do it, especially if we're talking about God. So we say, now you're happy with us, so let's have a better, increased relationship between the two of us, right?
Then we come to the next thing, which the Kukur says, which is interpreted in two ways. Minizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo'o Mehulo Shem Hashem. Yeah, so it's at the end of the second one. Shem Hashem. From the rising of the sun to its setting, Hashem's name is praised. Now, there are two ways of interpreting this. One is that from morning to night, God's name is praised. The other is, right, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, from morning to night. But then the question is what happens at night time. We'll come to that too. The second thing is, the second possibility is from one end of the world to the other. And from the place where the sun rises to the place where the sun sets, God's name is praised everywhere. Okay? Those are both possibilities. And the next verse, Roma Kogayim Hashem, our Shamay Kivado, right, high above all the nations of Hashem, above the heavens is glory, that seems to indicate that we're talking about a path from the east to the west. From one side of the world to the other, God is praised and God is lofty. Okay? So now, let's talk about both possibilities. First of all, you know, now we ask for Hashem's name to be increased, right? The question is, how are we going to increase his name, right? How are we going to increase that relationship? So there's the one way in which we increase the relationship with God, which is by praising God. In fact, the Rambam says, I think it's the Rambam, the end of Hilchos Teshuva, if I'm not mistaken. Rambam says, if you love someone, then you constantly say over their praises, right? You go and you tell people how wonderful that person is. You love this person, they're so wonderful, you want to go and tell people how wonderful this person is. So therefore, if you have a relationship with God, then what do you want to do? You have a very, and you want to, and you have a profound relationship, and you're asking for an even more profound relationship. So therefore, what is the idea? That you're going to go this house all the entire day, from morning to night, you're going to praise God. The entire day you're going to praise not just God, but his name. Meaning, how wonderful the relationship, how loving and how precious that relationship is, which we have with God. Now, of course, why not at night? First of all, at night you might be sleeping. Right? So therefore, you can only praise God while you're awake, right? From the time the sun rises to the time the sun sets. From Shachrit to Maariv. But there's another deeper understanding, I think, which is that we say in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, we say, V'chagid b'boker hazecha ve'emunascha ba'leilos. We say, to tell over in the morning your kindness and our belief in you at night. So there's a strange dichotomy, right? Why can't tell over God's kindness at night? We can only say that we believe in God at night. And conversely, we only can tell over our belief of God at night. We can't tell over our belief of God in the morning. What does that mean? Why does King David split these two phrases apart? Yeah?
There's a night.
It's what you're really saying is that our trust in God is deeper at night. Because we're not consciously aware of what's going on. We just, like we say, in your hands I entrust my soul. Right? So at night we have trust, and during the day we can know, we see everything, you know, when we're aware of what everything that's going on, and we have a hand in it, we can see the concept of chesed in front of our eyes, which is true. In other words, at night we just trust in God while we're sleeping. We don't see things. On the other hand, during the day, we can see all of God's kindness towards us. That's true on a personal level, and it's very good. I wanted to speak on also on a national level. And we know that in metaphorical terms, the day refers to the time when the Jews are in a state of salvation, right? They're in the land of Israel, functioning with the temple, and everything is in the proper place. And night is reflection of exile, of ghosts, when things are dark and unclear. So when Am Yisrael, when the Jewish people are in the land of Israel with their temple, oh, everything is shining, everything is light. We can see Chasdei Hashem, the blessings of God, the kindness of God, that here we have God giving us all these wonderful things which we have in the land and in the temple. But at night, when we're in Golus, we don't have all that stuff. What do we have at night? And all we have is our belief. We believe that God will eventually bring us back. Right? Right now, we don't have that. That's one of the reasons why we say, that one reason could be another reason, why we say in the morning after Shema, Emes V'yatsiv. It's true and it's firm. Yatsiv means firm. At night we say, Emes V'emuna. It's true, but because we believe in it. But not because it's firm in front of us. Now, yeah, in the morning you don't just say V'yatsiv. All that stuff. Why? Because that's when things are visible. And at night, it's not visible. At night, we go to sleep, right? We can only believe that things will continue, even as it's a trust, that as things will continue through the night. Or, again, on the metaphorical level, during the day, everything is clear and beautiful and wonderful. At night, everything is confused. We have to believe that eventually things will sort themselves out, that the morning will come again. And that's why it doesn't just say, L'hagi b'yom chazecha, which would mean during the daytime. But it says, L'hagi b'boker chazecha, when I awake in the morning. Because when morning comes, either morning in the individual sense, or morning in the metaphorical sense, when the morning, the first light comes, then I can once more say, oh, I see Chazdei Hashem, I see the kindness of God in my life and in a national level. So here's what we see in this pasuk. Over here, Mimizrach Shemesh Admavo, while when, during the lifetime of an individual while he's awake, and during the lifetime of the Jewish people while they're in a state of being in the land of Israel with the temple, Muhulal Shem Hashem. Clearly the God's name is praised. And when we say is, on the contrary, when we are in a state of Golus, we said, I think we said it this morning in Tachnun. You take a look on page 136 is a good place to look.
136?
Yes. We say top of the page, or there are a few psukim like this here, a few phrases like this, but here we say, Azreinu Elokeinu of Zvar Kvod Shemecha. We say to God, listen God, assist us God, or God of salvation for the sake of your name's glory. Meaning, when the Jews are in a state of exile, and things are dark, then God's name is desecrated. It's a Chilul Hashem. God's name is desecrated. So we say to God, listen, what we say happens, we might be losers, and we are jerks and morons. But when we are suffering, so your name is suffering also. So even if we have no merit, nevertheless, it's in your best interest, God, to redeem us in order that your name should not be desecrated anymore, right? Which is a crap way of putting it, but you know, it's just that idea. So here's what we're saying. When is God's name the Hulo? When is it praised? When the Jews are in an ideal situation. And that's also on it's also brought down in Tanakh. It says that, it's one of our thoughts for Sukkot, I forget exactly which one, but it says when the Beit HaMikdash is built, when the Beit HaMikdash existed, and when it will exist, so all the nations come to Yerushalayim to trade with the Jews. And they see this nation which is speaks one language, worships one God, eats one type of food, and they're very impressed, and they all want to come and convert. Why? Because the state of sanctity, which the Jews reflected, and the times when they all came to Jerusalem, was such a powerful state that it was Mechulol Shem Hashem, God's name was praised, not just by us, but by the non-Jews. Mechulol Shem Hashem means they themselves saw and praise God as a result of our reflection of Kavod Hashem.
So we see Mizrach Shemesh as long as the Mikkunim throughout the time of the day. Meaning that whenever we are in a state of wakefulness, we praise God. I can also mean throughout the time when there's salvation. Right? When we're in the Beit HaMikdash, when we have the land of Israel, then we praise God. And also means from one end of the world to the other, God is praised. When? Also, at that time, when we're awake, functioning on individual and national level, and reflecting Kavod Hashem, then God's name is praised, not just by us, but by everybody throughout the world. Did you want to say something? No? There's a very moving in Yerushalmi, my favorite Yerushalmi, which Rabbi Shimon bar Sheta, his students brought for him a donkey. He was very poor. He was involved in the flax trade. Now he was involved in the flax trade, and he was very difficult for him to make a living. So Rabbi Shimon bar Sheta, as soon as they had mercy on him, they bought him a donkey. And now he could be a donkey driver. I guess that was a better form of parnassus, you know, be a cab driver or whatever the case may be, you know, to be a mover. So when they bought him the donkey, they bought him a donkey from a non-Jew, from, Gemara says, from a bandit. And they found, when they brought the donkey back to Shimon Chetak, that there was this very precious diamond hanging from the neck of this donkey. Okay? So they said, obviously the bandit had left it there inadvertently. So they said to Shimon Chetak, listen, now everything is great now, just forget about driving the donkey. We'll sell the diamond, you'll be able to live a life of Riley, be able to live a life of luxury and, not have to work and just learn for the rest of your life. So Rishon LeZion said, listen, did the non-Jew know that he was selling you the diamond with the donkey? So they said, of course not. So they said, give it back. So they said to him, Rebbe, this is our law, huh? We have to give it back? Not necessarily we have to give it back. First of all, he's a bandit, maybe he stole it. Secondly, there's a whole issue that we're discussing there, that even though when a non-Jew mistakenly loses something, you don't necessarily have to give it back to him. So therefore, they said to him, is this our law? So the Shimon said back to him and said, it's a fascinating language, he said. He said, what do you think, I'm a barbarian? I don't want more than all the gold and silver in the world. I prefer that this guy, or anybody, would say, that the guy would come to see and say, blessed is God, who is the Lord of the Jews. Meaning, if he sees that my behavior, and more than that, two other stories like that, the truth that my behavior is, and I'm much higher, a level above everybody else's behavior, even though I don't have to behave that way, that's the ultimate purpose which I'm here for. I'm not here to make money. I'm here that people should say, B'rich Achmona, Lord, you do it. I'm here to create Mehulo Shem Hashem, that God's name should be praised in every place at every time. That's
what if your family is in trouble and they need money? Learn Torah to tell
them to get Yeshiva. Isn't that amazing thing? Rishon LeZion is saying, despite all that, you shouldn't keep the money. Mm-hmm. Isn't that shocking? Well, that's what Rishon LeZion is saying. It's an amazing thing. I once heard Haki, I had a, this is not true, it's even Yerushalmi, this is not correct, the perspective I'm going to give you. But once I heard from an Israel fellow, a Pentecostal, his perspective was, let's say a guy walks by, and he drops $1 million, right? And he doesn't know that it's got lost, right? So your halacha is, you're allowed to take it and keep it, right? You're allowed to take and keep it, just like Rishon LeZion said. Yeah, that's the strict way of the law. And he said, this Talmud Chacham, he said, and if you don't take it and keep it, then you are creating Chil Hashem. Why? Because God just gave you $1 million and you're throwing it back in his face, right? God just gave you halachically $1 million, you should keep it. So that's what he said. But he said, you're not allowed to give it back. What is wrong? And one of the Rishon LeZion is telling us that that's not the case. Because our law, in fact, whatever the halakha might say according to the strict letter of the law, there is a value which is higher than that value. And the value which is higher than keeping the strict letter of the law is what's going to cause God's name to be more mehulah. And that sometimes requires going beyond the letter of the law. It's interesting, I once, years ago, there's a rabbi named Rabbi Rifkin. Rabbi Rifkin is a little bit of a controversial fellow. He writes essays from every week in the Jerusalem Post, and sometimes they get people annoyed. And but he's the chief rabbi of Eshlat in Israel right now. And he was, when he lived in America, one of the leaders of modern Orthodoxy. And he had a shul called Lincoln Square Synagogue, which still exists today. And he also had in the 70s a very, very good high school. It was called MHS, Mississippi High School, or totally, I don't think it exists anymore. So he said, he wrote a fascinating thing, which is interesting perspective. He said when he was wanted to hire rabbi for the high school, so he had lots of applicants, right? Not, even back now, for every job which is open in the yeshiva high school, you might have hundreds of applicants. But even back then, they had like 40 applicants or something like that for jobs in the high school. So he asked all of them the following question. He said, what happened? You ordered a shaver from a department store. And inadvertently, the department store sends you two shavers, right? Two Norelcos. What do you do with the second shaver? So 39 of 40 applicants started talking about the halacha, the lamzes, where you have toes tackle, you made a mistake, you get to keep it, no, you don't get to keep it, what kind of mistake is it, what's the definition? One of the 40 guys said, I would return the shaver to the store with a note saying that since I am Jewish, I can't keep the second shaver. So the listener said, that's the guy I hired for the job. I don't know if I'm on that much radar. I don't know if I was given an answer, you know, but he's right. That's really the right answer to give, is like Rabbi Shimon Shetzal said. Now, if you show me, I know that that's not the right answer. But that's it. The answer is that you're supposed to do whatever causes more praise of God. Now, I thought it was a simple thing, you know, especially if I want a second shaver, it's very tempting to keep the second shaver. But I should know that the ideal is not to keep
the shaver. I would give up on $1 million.
Okay. It's only a matter of scale then. So that means it's a mulo shem Hashem. This whole class is there prepared.
But this relationship with Hashem and the spirit of the Jewish people, can you correlate with the relationship of the in life, at least the life story of the person, there's no such thing as a sending relationship, it's getting better and better and better. There always is something that's tragic in everyone's life. And you have to work that out. You get around that and get off the tennis life way. And that is
That's an interesting point. It's a very fascinating point, which I never thought of before, which is that human relationships tend to erode over time. They tend to increase, let's say, to a certain point, which is a relatively short time after they began, and then they fall downhill from there. It's an interesting idea. So that obviously that reflects to a certain unfortunate way our relationship with God as well, right? So both, you're right, one can work and should ideally work on both of them at the same time. Because obviously, one's capacity to ascend in one's human relationships, one's family relationships, gives one the capacity to ascend in one's relationship to God, and the converse of that should be true as well. It's a very interesting idea. I'd have to think about that more, but I think it sounds good. Sounds good. Okay? Go ahead.
Where do you get the Mirzah and what you say about the nations of the world will come to Israel?
Is there a Chumash here? I don't know if I can find it that quickly. But.
Oh, yeah.
No. One of the prophets. You got me. It's not explicit here, but it's the Medrash which refers to the Chaya, or I don't know, it might be the Gemara, the Chaya 14. The Chaya 14. It's this Asorah, the first day of this Asorah. Okay, so there it says that they're all going to come up to Jerusalem. I don't know, don't think it says that they're all going to want to convert, but that's what the Chazal say is the ramification of they're all coming up to Jerusalem. Okay, it's mostly on the second page, but that's where it is. Let's just go a few more minutes. We'll go through 10:30. So the follow-through is, of course, if Mehu'al Shem Hashem, if we are praising God doesn't, again, it means that we can praise God through our verbal praise of God, and we should go out and tell people God is wonderful, but it also means that we manifest the praise of God by our conduct, like Shimon Shetach, who did things that would cause others to praise God. So it's either our praise or our generating praise of God. They both put into the concept of Mehu'al Ol Shem Hashem. If Mehu'al Ol Shem Hashem, then of course, Ram Al Kol Bayim Hashem. So God is mighty. He's, how is he translated here? He says, God is high above all the nations. Now, this can be taken in the context of the passage before, like I'm reading it now, that if we cause Hashem's name to be praised, then God is higher than all the nations, right? Meaning God is seen, perceived by all the nations to be the ultimate God. You know, the Indians, I mentioned this earlier this year, Gandhi said that even though the Indians have 23 million gods, right? Something like that. What? 300 million? Okay. They have 300 million gods, but they have one God, who's got the name Ram, right, who is the equivalent of the God of the Jews and the Holy Father of the Christians, right? So it's interesting that the name is actually Ram. I think the name is Ram, if I recall correctly. So the idea is that even those, these guys with their 300 million gods, they still have the one God who's Ram, who's higher than all the other gods, right? So the idea is that obviously to our reflection of the Mehu'al Ol Shem Hashem, even if they remain idolaters, so still they'll say, yeah, but this God, he's got to be better than all the other gods, right? Because this God, really, you know, you see what he can do. You have a microcosm of that in Yonah. You know, by Yonah, they say everybody called to their own God, right? And then they said to Yonah, why don't you call him to your God? And Yonah did what he did, you know, they said to throw him off the boat. And then they also, wow, God is really God. This one's the real McCoy. So then it says, and they all came back to land, so they all sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the idea is to demonstrate that God is Ram. He is the higher one. Even those who believe in idols and other gods, they should understand that the ultimate force is Hashem. Now that idea of Ram is kind of foreign to us. Because to us, we don't want Hashem to be higher. Right? It sounds like Hashem is way up there, right? Right? We say, Roman Mu Hashem Elokeinu, that's the type of praise we give to God, but what we really want to do, when we tell others, like I said, was shame Hashem, we want to bring God down to us, or ourselves up to God. But the idea is not that Hashem should remain Ram, which is a relationship which he might have with the non-Jews, because they perceive him, but they're worshiping to all these other intermediaries in the middle, but we want to have a direct, intense, and personal relationship with God. So Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Vis-a-vis other nations, we want to get them to recognize that Hashem is Ram. But for us, that would never be enough. We want a much closer relationship between ourselves and God. That, of course, is the fundamental difference between the non-Jew who had only seven commands and the pretty easy commands at that. And us who have...
What are
their commands? Not to murder, not to steal, to have not to have licentious practices, to set up judges, not to eat, you know, Abram and Ahiah, limb with the, what?
What is that?
To set up judges? They should have a
course on not to eat.
Not to eat, tear a limb off a live animal and eat it.
Oh.
Abram and Ahiah. Right? So I think there are one or two more, which I don't remember offhand. But in any event, whereas we have 613. So, you know, and they're pretty hard ones at that, right? So obviously that's because their relationship is not meant to be, they don't have to have that intensive relationship with God, but it's our relationship is meant to be much higher. So it's interesting, this is these the other nations, Rama Kobayim Hashem, Al Shemayim Kibozo. Where's God's honor for them? In the heavens, right? It's removed from them. Even though they came to recognize God, God is like very high up in the heavens. It's not good, right? We really don't want God's honor to be in the heavens. We want to bring it down to earth. But again, that's really our experience, which we could experience through our relationship with God, through the mitzvot, which are unique to Judaism. For a non-Jew, as long as it doesn't convert, it remains on the level of Ram and Shamayim. He's high up and he's in heaven. But that's not the relationship which is ideal for us. That's what we like non-Jews to realize as well, at least according to their level, but that's not sufficient for us. Okay? So far, so good? Now, we go back then. Now that we've been Mahalal Shem Hashem, we praise God's name. And we got all the nations of the world to realize God's name, right? And they all see the honor of God. Everything is great, right? So now we say, don't worry, things are going to get much worse. But not yet, so we're going to get back down to human level too. Now, Hashem Shimchot is Hashem Shimcho Le'olam, Hashem Zichrocho L'dor V'dor. Last one. Right? Hashem Shimcho Le'olam, Hashem Zichrocho L'dor V'dor. So we have to relate this back to the first verse. In the first verse he said, Kvod Hashem Le'olam. It was saying, Shimcho Le'olam, right? And also, we're not saying it as a request. Yes. What?
You're saying it as a question.
As a statement. No, it's a statement.
Is your name forever?
No, where does it say it is?
Is your name forever?
Oh, no, it's a statement. It's not a question. Hashem is your name forever. It means Hashem. What's a bad translation? Hashem, your name is forever. It should not have said Hashem is your name forever. I don't know why they said that. They said, Hashem, your name is forever, right? I see why they wanted to say it. Because they wanted to say, your name is always Hashem. That's what, not that your name Hashem is always, but your name is always Hashem. Okay. That's how they wanted to translate it. So, name Hashem Shimcho Le'olam, Hashem Zichrocho L'dor V'dor. Hashem, interesting, when he translates your memorial. Right, that's what he says here? What does it say? Hashem is your memorial throughout the generations. So I don't like this translation at all. When I would translate the pasuk, I'm sure they have some commentary in Tehillim who says it that way. But the way I would translate this pasuk is, Hashem, your name is forever. Hashem, your commemoration is from generation to generation. And remember, we said that le'olam means that which is eternal and unchanging, and l'dor means in flux from epic to epic. And in fact, there is, we think Dushar, Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, it's also in Kedusha, Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, Elokai Tzion, L'dor V'dor, Aleluka, right? Last line Kedusha, so everybody says it's wrong. Everybody says it's wrong. Not supposed to be Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, Elokai Tzion, L'dor V'dor, Aleluka. Rather, the word Aleluka is supposed to be separate. It's supposed to say Yimloch Hashem Le'olam, comma, Elokai Tzion L'dor V'dor, comma, Haluka. So it's really, the Yimloch is going on the Olam, Elokai Tzion is going on the Dor V'dor. So here too, it's a similar idea. Hashem Shimcha L'Olam, Hashem Zichrocha L'dor V'dor. So what's the difference between Shimcha and L'Olam? So I think it's quite obvious. The Shem Hashem means there's always a relationship between us and God. Now, the extent of that relationship, of course, varies. But more than that, the way we perceive that relationship varies and has to vary from generation to generation. Because each generation, with its different mission and its different level, has to have a different type of manifestation of that relationship. So therefore, we think, although the shame, the relationship must be there and should be there, l'olam, and that the underlying thing is that relationship, but the way that relationship is, so to speak, commemorated, the way the zecher means to remember, So the way it, we, as well means the way we experience it, the way we know it, so that changes from generation to generation. So for example, you know, in some generations, the relationship is that God gives us great reward. In some generations, the relationship is that God gives us great punishment. Now, punishment is also a sign of relationship, right? Because God only punishes us because he loves us. As hard as that might be to understand, but the Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, "Et Hashem Yoav Hashem Yochiyah." If Hashem reviews you, it means it's because he loves you. If he didn't care about you, then he would never rebuke you. It would just let you go on, you know? And, what?
There isn't a person that doesn't care about.
Well, we're talking about a nation right now. So that's on a national level for a moment, right? But this, at this point, we're talking about a national level. We're talking about the entire generation.
Okay.
So we're saying that each and every generation, yes, that's true, Hashem has a control. That's a very, you know, the thing you made is a very difficult statement. It's not so simple. We said Hashem is concerned with each and every person.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
Why not?
Also, not for now. It's too much to write. Wait, we have to come back. We have to come back. But it's not so simple. It's a big machlokes that we're showing you. There's a great dispute among the Jewish philosophers that Hashem is concerned with every person or not. Okay? So we'll have to deal with that at a different time. But in any event, but certainly God is concerned with the Jewish people as a whole. I was saying that even though Hashem's name is, his relationship is eternal, but how Hashem is noticed, is remembered, how the manifestation of that relationship occurs is different in each and every generation, right? So therefore, we have to understand that everything can change from generation to generation based on the mission of that generation, right? So that's what we say, in the way it's phrased in Kedusha, it's a very powerful statement. Yiroch Hashem Yolam is Zurke Bokke. That name of God, that God sustained, it was, is, and will be, sustains everything that's eternal. That kingship of Hashem is forever. But how is Elohim? The word Elohim, by definition, Elohim means multiple. Multiple forces. It's a plural term, Elohim, right? So Elohim means God can relate to us in different ways. And those different ways depend on our relationship. That's why it's called Midas HaDin. Sometimes din means judgment means you're rewarded. Sometimes judgment means you're punished. So therefore, how Hashem is Elohim, how he relates to us in terms of our worthiness, that changes from door to door. So although the entire thing underlined is Hashem's kindness and mercy and sustaining, creating, and recreating the world, but how it comes about, how we experience in each other generation, that's a different level. And that can change, and that's the level of Elohim, depending on the mission, the worthiness, all sorts of factors of the generation. Okay, we'll stop here for today. I don't know if we'll get to, I think next we're going on, the next time we meet is on Thursday. I don't know if we'll get to finish the whole thing on Thursday either. We didn't get halfway today, but we'll try and get as far as we can.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye-bye.